It's time for some more monkey business. Mecha monkey business. Mockbuster mecha monkey business. The Asylum is running a sequel to Ape vs. Monster, this time with no Godzilla stand-in, to see if they can alter the fate of their awful series. Can this film escape the vortex of bad scores this company seems to cultivate like its CGI files? Or will this movie mechanize a more meaningful score? Find out along with us as we hold our nose this week and watch along with us. This is Kaiju versus History, Ape versus Mecha Ape.
Welcome back to Kaiju versus History. This is your flashlight-wielding monkey handler, Miles, and joining me is a not-Russian Russian hacker looking to jailbreak your ape, Patrick. Patrick, how you doing this week?
Oh, yes. As soon as someone makes a Mecha Godzilla-like creature, it's getting hacked by a foreign government.
Yeah. And I love that they did. They even give the country a proper title.
Yes, and it was
like Romovia or something like that.
Yeah, it felt like a comic book. Country
called Latveria.
I didn't even write it down. Yeah,
we are of course. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying they definitely had some kind of Eastern European or Russian accent.
Yeah, they definitely. And yeah, some of these writers need to realize, like, the Cold War ended quite some time ago. I understand our relationship with...
I was about to say, we got a new war, Miles, don't you worry.
Yeah, well, I understand that, too. But, like, I don't know. We are, of course, looking at the March 24th, 2023 release by The Asylum, Ape versus Mecha Ape. The second mockbuster of Godzilla versus Kong, right?
Yeah, because the first movie, Ape versus Monster... was just those two monsters, and this one gets rid of the Godzilla creature and has the Mecha Godzilla creature, but instead of Mecha Monster, it's Mecha Ape. So a little rewrite. But yeah, there's not many movies that they make multiple mockbusters out of. It says to me that these do well for the company, you know, for whatever reason. I mean, the posters look good, the covers of the DVDs, or
they don't. But they do sell.
Well, this one has got, like, you know, a giant ape versus a what looks to me like a transformer ape, I guess would be the closest. Right. A robotic ape of some sort. And
yeah, the poster makes it look like it's Optimus Primal.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so that's what we're looking at this week. Are you ready to get into the ins and outs of Ape versus Mecha Ape? Just really... break it down top to bottom.
As ready as I'll ever be. I don't know that far, bud. But before we get involved with any of that monkey business, Patrick, I need you to tell me what's in a title.
Well, you've got one character called Ape. Actually, I forget that they call him the Abe. Name. Yeah, the flight test monkey that was in the first movie. So they actually have a name for the ape, Abraham Abe.
Yeah, which half the time I still think people are screaming ape.
Abe. But yeah, the other half of this title is the new eponymous Mecha Ape, a mechanized government creation that was made as like a deterrent, because I was like, oh, there's giant monsters roaming around. We need to have a mecha version. Monkey versus Machine is the title for this movie in Brazil, which... it's so good. Macaco versus Machina. Monkey and Robot Monkey is a direct translation of the Estonian version. The Japanese title is, I don't know if it was the same for Ape versus Monster, but it translates to Lord of Monsters, Great Monster Duel, which is 10 times better title already.
A good title to trick someone to watch.
Vietnamese title translates to Super Angry Monkey, which, yeah, I guess that'll work too. Yeah, I mean,
Monkey's pretty pissed.
And then in Taiwan, the title translates to King Kong versus Gold Steel, which are also cool names, but I don't think you're allowed to call this ape King Kong.
Right.
Even if it is heavily influenced by it. Yeah. Yeah. Another Asylum release. I've lost track. I should probably go back and count how many Asylum movies we've done so far. I've marked them in our notes as with the color brown, highlighting them brown.
Because they're dookie.
I think this is at least 12, I want to say.
Ooh.
It's hard because Conga TNT was not Asylum, but it was Asylum quality.
Yes. Yes.
I want to say this is either 12. Yeah, I think this is the 12th Asylum film that we've looked at. Way too many. I knew when I put this list together, I was like, oh boy, these giant sharks are really going to kill us. But I think it's going to be these movies because, spoiler warning, there is another film in the Ape versus Mecha Ape. And I guarantee you they're going to do it again when Godzilla Supernova comes out, Miles. They're going to do it to us again.
Oh, yeah. And they're going to call it live. They'll probably call it Ape versus Mecha Ape Supernova.
Or Ape versus Space Ape. You know, we don't know what the monster is yet, but they'll put together a movie.
They could do something like that. The current rumor I've heard is that Space Godzilla is somehow involved in Supernova. But again, unconfirmed rumors. Don't take it with anything but a grain of salt.
Yeah, that movie is still pretty far away, but that seems to be the idea that they're going for. I imagine just because of the way Legendary Films is, we're getting like a new creature that is like a Space Godzilla, but is not going to be Space Godzilla, you know?
Yeah.
The new alien, perhaps. Oh boy, we've already wandered astray, Miles, talking about more interesting movies. What do you want to talk about with this film? What really captured your imagination here, Miles?
Wow, that's a loaded question. So I guess, you know, people might be curious as to what this movie's actually about. And the short answer is it's kind of nothing. It's kind of the plot of Home Alone 3.
Oh, you're going to have to refresh me on that one.
So because they're not actively trying to really control the ape for any long period of time. The ape is the distraction. They want the nuclear codes so that they can launch nuclear missiles. So they put this whole farce into play so they can get these codes. In the same way, if you remember the classic John Hughes film Home Alone 3, not starring Macaulay Culkin, and starring a very young Scarlett Johansson, bane of cinema. This movie has got the same plot. Like they hide a little chip in a toy car, which accidentally makes its way to this little kid named Alex, that is supposed to give the owner basically the keys to the kingdom of any nuclear arsenal on the planet. And these criminals are trying to get it back because of their buffoonery. And it's not totally different.
I was going to say it's very similar to the other Asylum films, Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark, which also has a giant robot version of the main monster.
But that one's created by the army in an effort to kind of deal with the Mecha Shark. First of all, the Mecha Ape was done so that they could kind of leave Abe alone. And then it gets hacked by the not Russians, or the we have Russians at home. And idiotic stuff.
There's the plot.
this thing rampages from, like, I think one of the small towns outside of the Great Lakes towards Chicago. And
the thing that it really reminded me of was we just watched 2025 Armageddon, and in that movie, they also get inside a giant mechanical creature. I think it was the Transmorphers, or was it the Atlantic Rim?
It was the Atlantic robots.
Well, they were inside them, like, pretty, you know, I guess it was a little later in the film. This movie, the main character, Sloane, jumps into Mecha Ape fairly early in the film. Isn't there a lot of the movie
trying to stop it? You can't have an Asylum film without someone stuck in a broom closet that they have reformatted into the control panel for half the movie.
And so bad in Atlantic Rim. Those do look the worst. This is not terrible, but it's still like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I wish this was not our set.
Our quote unquote star of the film, in terms of like, oh, they always get somebody famous, is our old friend Tom Arnold.
Oh, who, he's unfortunately has a terrible cold the entire film and or did the most drugs in the 80s and 90s as his a human body would allow. He's got a sniffle the entire film. Is he the president? No.
No, I think he's like the main general.
Yeah, he's like in charge of defense or something.
I will say, I have to give it to Anna Telfer, who plays Sloane. I think she's actually a pretty decent actress in this movie.
Yes, it is very wild that they get quality actors and give them very little to do.
No, she's got nothing. I mean, you kind of laugh at her because, I mean, she's having to play in Asylum's playground. And so that's always something that, like, a grain of salt that you have to take into consideration. Now, most of the time, they don't hire actors who are really capable or have the ability to go past the Asylum brand. But when you have someone who can clearly probably act pretty well, trying to do the Asylum thing, I get it. It's a gig. You are, you know, a young actor, you need to get paid, get it. I would do the exact same thing. I would, if Asylum asked me, I would say yes in a heartbeat. I'm not going to say no.
You would hopefully push back against the director and some of these decisions somewhat, but
I don't know if there's any decisions to be made. I think it's just like, oh yeah, we'll see what happens today.
Her using the flashlights to control Abe. I mean, maybe she made this choice, but she looks like she was directing like
airplane
traffic.
Yeah,
with these flashlights. So it's like, how's he reacting to this? You know?
Oh yeah, it was so funny. I think I was watching this movie, and I think Krista was walking by, and she goes, "Oh, that looks fun." She's like, "What's going on?" And I'm like, "Oh, well, this is how they communicate with the giant ape." And she was like, "Never mind," and just kept on walking.
I'm okay. No thanks.
I mean, the thing is like, I actively like thought that she was a good lead, and it did make you at least somewhat interested until the story actually starts. And you're like, oh yeah, I'm an Asylum movie. I forgot.
Miles,
I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter that we're recording this way after I watched this film. I watched this like over.
I watched this like a month ago. Yeah,
but I wrote in my notes here, the Asylum makes the most forgettable movies in cinema history, and that's why a lot of people were like, they almost don't even feel like movies, because I was writing my notes a few days after watching the film, and I was already forgetting characters. I was forgetting whole scenes. I didn't remember a lot of the plot.
As you do.
I don't remember when Tom Arnold was introduced into the movie, because he probably had a scene where he was like by himself in a room, you know, like talking on the phone. So it was,
yeah.
I don't recall when we first meet the not Russian hackers. I just, everything about the movie, just a few days after watching it, was a haze. But a month later, I barely remember the kaiju in the film. I can remember it's pretty bad CGI once again. But at the very least, they made new models. Like, the mecha ape is a new thing. It's not in another Asylum film. Not great. I mean, the ape itself is probably like a pre-used CGI, but the mech ape was all right. It's not terrible. It's in the movie for like 90 seconds, it feels like. They didn't
the
show.
Mecha ape?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they
I thought he looked terrible. CGI. I thought the design was absolute dog crap.
I mean, for the Asylum, it's pretty good.
No. It's
pretty darn good. I'll give them Miles.
I will give them nothing. And they will take it.
If you're not giving them anything, did anything in the movie work for you? Did anything come together?
I mean, I've already talked with the lead actress, Sloane. That's probably the only thing that was like they try to do like all of these. The foreign infiltrator subplot was so dumb. And
yeah, they're well.
It was all in this one little motel room, and
they're avoiding American authorities.
It's the jankiest outfit you could have probably ever have like concocted, and also like their hacker is real dumb, like real dumb. And
how else can I say it?
This movie is. I mean, the thing is like, I want to say, oh, this movie's awful. But like you said, it's not even really worth saying that because it's so forgettable and so boring. And it kind of sucks because like, if you've got a monster movie and like, look, I know Asylum like is not exactly, you know, the high budget affairs. But I feel like if they have a decent enough plot and, you know, passable enough actors, they can make some decent stuff if they so choose. And some of their movies have gone over decently. Like, I know for a fact, Transmorphers was looked upon pretty kindly when it came out in 2008. But
they can make, Miles, I'll give them this, great trailers. Just awesome trailers for films. They're like, wow, this could actually be good. Not once has a silent film lived up to the trailer where they show you the majority of the special effects scenes in the film.
I think everyone learned after Giant Octopus versus Mega Shark, because that trailer went massively viral when it came out. And then everyone that saw the movie was like, oh, never mind. This is trash. Like, everyone thinks they're going to have a good time. Everyone thinks they're signing up for Snakes on a Plane or something.
It's never
A movie that they have mock-busted before. And
Snakes on a Train.
If they gave something at the level of Snakes on a Plane, this company could be something. But no, we get this. And I think the ape is awful. I think all of the so-called espionage, especially when they actively steal the codes from whatever strip mall office they were breaking into, that they were doubling as the military complex. I mean, it's just so dumb.
Well, let's get to rating this, Miles. Tell us how you really feel about your personal enjoyment for Ape versus Mecha Ape.
Well, so that's the thing, is there wasn't any personal enjoyment here, but, you know, like I said, there were things I did enjoy, which was the lead actress, just because she was competent. We don't really often have like an actual like competent actress at the head of one of their films. That said, you know, because it's fun at first, I'm like, oh, cool, we have a cool actress. And then you're like, oh, this poor girl. She is having to do this awful script, and they just make her look like a buffoon. Mm-hmm. And everything within the Mecha Ape is nonsensical and not good. Also, why does this thing have a warehouse corridor within it? Because you would think, like, in any mecha that you've ever seen, that's just not how any of this works.
I mean, it's the set that they had. That's why.
Yeah, it was so big on the inside. For personal enjoyment, I think this movie, I think you put it best, you kind of forget about it while you're watching it. I certainly forgot about it after I watched it about a month ago, because, hey, the holidays came and it caused our recording schedule to, you know, blow up. I'm giving this a 3 out of 10.
Yeah, 3 out of 10. Oh boy, on our scale is, well, it's not great, Miles. Where does that land us for personal enjoyment? Oh, that falls under the category of regrettable. It is regrettable watching. I think this is the best description.
That is absolutely the emotion that I felt watching this movie.
Yeah, I don't understand people that can watch this and derive enjoyment from it, just because it's
better than me.
I just want it to be so bad it's good, and it's not even that bad. But yeah, it just seems odd that they keep making these movies each year. It becomes crazier and crazier. But I feel like they nailed it with Armageddon 2025. I got to imagine the only people that can watch asylum movies and enjoy them are aliens streaming them through to learn about our culture. For the technical aspect, like I said, I feel like these movies always kind of teeter on the razor's edge of somehow almost making sense, but still having a plot line and pacing and characters that just claw back a tangible plot and make it kind of not make sense through the editing or what have you. And it makes it, even while you're watching it, just so inaccessible. I feel like I need to read like a Wikipedia article while I watch it to understand it. But yeah, the CGI, while very good in this movie compared to other Asylum films, is like 3 minutes of, you know, hour and 20 minute runtime. So I'm giving it a 4 out of 10 for its technical score. What about you, Miles?
I am in the exact same spot. I'm with you. I think the designs are awful. I think the script is awful. I think it deserves a little bit of credit for some of its casting choices. But yeah, I mean, it's a dumb movie, and I don't mean that like in any way other than like, you know, the actual things that are being done are dumb. It's not that like, oh, this movie is just a stupid movie, like, you know, like a mid-90s, like, you know, off-brand Jim Carrey comedy. This is just a stupid movie. Like, the script is dumb. The CGI is regrettable. And I think the design of the Mecha Ape is trash. I think the design of Abe is also not good. So it's... Yeah, when you have all this going on, but at the same time, it's kind of slightly better than the sum of its parts in some ways, in terms of like, yeah, they made this movie. It is a finished product, but like it's still not very good. But I'll give them credit for at least having decent casting choices. So I'm gonna bump this up slightly to a 4 out of 10.
Yeah, and for its importance as a kaiju movie, I don't feel like any of the mockbusters can really be that high. I would say it's about half where I would see the actual movie that it's mockbusting. And for what it's worth, Godzilla v. Kong was pretty high up there. I feel like it really kind of saved kaiju movies, saved movies in general from the pandemic.
Yep.
But yeah, somehow, while I still feel like this maybe ranks higher than Ape vs. Monster, it is still, you know, just a mecha monster movie and doesn't really do much more original than the original Ape vs. Monster did. But yeah, this movie is bad, but it's not kind of derivative in the way a lot of the mockbusters are. I guess Ape vs. Monster also didn't follow Godzilla vs. Kong that closely, but maybe it should have. Right. I'm giving a 4 out of 10 for its importance as well. What about you, Miles?
I am right there with you. We are in alignment today.
Oh my goodness. That means Ape versus Mecha Ape getting a very by the skin of its teeth 4 out of 10 from the podcast.
There's not a lot to say about this movie.
I'm sick of them, Miles, and we have another one in this soon to be trilogy, maybe quadrilogy. With what's the next one called? The next one is obviously going to be a mockbuster of Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire, which, you know, spoiler, I really enjoyed, and I'm excited to revisit for the podcast. But it is called Ape versus Mecha Ape: New World Order. And I hope. Get a better score than a 4 out of 10.
Can only hope.
That will do it for us here. If you want to chat with us online, you can find us on social media at Kaiju Versus History. Email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. Join the Discord on our Cosmic Crit Discord page. We have a whole channel dedicated to all things kaiju. And yeah, you can see our scores on Letterboxd. I just recently updated it. I think it's got just about everything in it for the following year, this coming year. But lots of fun stuff on there. You can see our reviews in 5-star format. I'm gonna do this movie live. I'm rating it 2 out of 5 stars from the podcast, which is not great. It's not great. What is gonna go on next week? What are we doing next time, Miles?
Well, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. And we're going to catch you next time when we take a week off from terrible giant apes on the big screen to a much better monkey on the streaming platform Netflix. Can an animated adaptation of the amazing ape work somewhat disconnected from the film series that spawned it? We'll find out next week on History versus Skull Island.